You are listening to Prometheus by Minute. I am your host, Courtney Coulson. This is Minute 14. This minute opens with Vickers doing push-ups and ends with Holloway saying, "Ellie, we're here, baby." First of all, Vickers can't do push-ups right. This always bugged me. In the close-up angles, it appears like she's lowering herself properly, but on the wide shot, she's barely bending her elbows. Now, Charlize is pretty fit. I assume she knows how to do a proper push-up. I don't know what's going on here. Maybe she's getting tired? I can't say. This minute has its own little story going on. It's the contrast between Vickers and Shaw. It seems like a cliché that there are usually only two women in a cast, and they always have to be opposed or pitted against each other in some way. Vickers wakes up and looks ready for battle. She needs no assistance. She gets David to fetch her robe, but that's more of a power thing. Her first few lines are barking orders or coldly asking for a status report. She speaks in a clipped, curt way, almost robotic but with undeniable hostility. Vickers has a number of artifacts on display in her bedroom. It's hard to tell what they are, we never get a close shot of them. They appear to be masks or sculpted faces of some kind. Did Waylon choose the decor, or did she? They are rather extravagant on a ship where every kilo could impact speed and fuel efficiency. They are pure decoration. If they were her choice, it shows that she is cultured and has an appreciation for history. It's hard to imagine Meredith having any response other than disdain for anything. But based on what we know about her, she was probably sent to a very expensive private school. She was exposed to a lot of culture when she was young and more open to ideas. But it seems more likely that everything on this ship was to Waylon's specifications. Vickers probably had little to no say in it. Which is a shame. We are denied any additional hints at her personality and identity. Vickers' wardrobe has at least 14 garments hanging up that we can see. To say nothing of the rest of the large wardrobe that is off-screen, or the cupboards above. So clearly no plans of roughing it on this trip. I like that even minor costumes are unusual and make a statement. I'm not sure if Meredith's pale grey robe is custom-made or sourced, but it has a spine-like detail in the centre back seam, and this super low raglan sleeves that create an unusually geometric shape across her chest. There are schematics for the Magellan online, but not for the final layout of the Prometheus. Still, it gives us some sense of Vickers' module. It's quite sizable, but apparently it was going to be the size of a house, with a dining room, bedroom, living room, med bay, a sizable office, and a stairwell leading to a hidden chamber where Waylon's private soldiers were kept in cryo. Thankfully, that ridiculous plotline was forgotten about. All told, the module on the Magellan would have had about 10 rooms. The final version on the Prometheus is smaller, but still extravagant. Looking at it again in future minutes, I'm noticing that there are more halls and rooms than I previously imagined. The bedroom is likely the room Vickers emerges from when she has her meeting with Shaw and Holloway later on.
How long?
2 years, 4 months, 18 days, 36 hours, 15 minutes.
Any casualties?
Casualties, Mum?
Has anyone died?
No, Mum. Everyone's fine.
Well, then wake him up.
I'm not really sure why David wants her to repeat, though the way he says it is perfectly passive-aggressive. He hasn't spoken to anyone in over 2 years, and already he's being a catty bitch. I love him. He's also probably well aware that Meredith doesn't want him to go into such precision about the time. This is clearly a dynamic that's been going on for years. A sibling rivalry, if you will. And absence has not made the heart grow fonder. They're right back to it. I've been watching interviews with Charlize, and she was originally offered the role of Elizabeth, and almost had to turn down the project altogether because of Mad Max Fury Road. But then it was delayed for what must have been the 20th time. Other actresses considered for the role were Angelina Jolie and Michelle Yeoh. Can't see either of them in this role, but then we have to take into account that Vickers in the initial script is very different from the one we finally got. Also, I love Michelle Yeoh, she's kicking all the ass in Star Trek Discovery. I think she could have played the original concept of Vickers quite well. So, when Charlize was available again, the role of Elizabeth had already been cast, leaving only one other female role available. What's cool is that they essentially tailor the role to her. She got to have a lot of input into Meredith's character. The result is quite a compelling, mysterious woman. The connections between Wayland and David make her more interesting, too. To this day, fans speculate whether or not she is a synthetic, or if David was somehow modelled after her. David is in fact Meredith's older brother by at least 2 decades, but they do resemble each other somewhat. They could believably pass as siblings. Another possibility is that Wayland had other children. In fact, I would argue it's less likely that he only had one child in all those years. Maybe he had a son who died at a young age, and David is modelled on that child's DNA. I have long wondered who Wayland based David on. The usual trope is that the android and their maker are identical, like Data and Dr. Sung in Star Trek The Next Generation. It might further explain Wayland's disappointment in David. Of course, he could never compare to the real son he lost. But this is all complete conjecture. It would go a long way to explain some things, though. Here's an interview with Charlize from Slash Film. After seeing the movie, people were theorizing that your character might be an android. That's not said in the film, and probably is not even true. I wanted to know what you thought of that. Yeah, Charlize says, "We played around with a lot of stuff, I'll just say that, non-specific things. But we played around with a lot of stuff, and we threw a lot of stuff out there very loosely, and maybe they influenced some of it a little bit, but there was definitely something that happened once David and I kind of stood next to each other, when I started feeling like his posture was overtaking my posture. There's the good age-old question, like, is the chicken before the egg? Like, is it him, or is it me, or is it part of my DNA in him? We did talk about that a lot, that it was nice to have something ambiguous about the origins of both of us. Maybe like, why did we look so much alike? Why am I walking so much like him? Is it that I am an android, or is that I gave him human qualities, that I gave him my DNA? We played with a lot of that shit. It was fun. Reading actor and director quotes are always weird because they have this... Yeah, I mean, if I heard that audio, I assume it wouldn't sound so weird, but me, being an android myself, trying to read that in a natural way, it's just hard. But I think it gets the point across that they were sort of playing with that subtext. When we cut to shore, she is trembling and vomiting. She's clearly not handling this as well as Vickers is. David comforts her. She does not push him away. She accepts his assistance. Again, just as we only see him spy on her dreams, we only see him assist her, no one else. They are really trying to establish a connection between them. David may already be positioning himself to get close to Elizabeth. But what is it that draws him to her? I suppose the only two people he's ever been in close proximity to are Wayland and Vickers. Shaw couldn't be more different. Optimistic, innocent, a true believer. While David isn't hyper-logical, as most androids are, in fact I'd argue that he's more human than I am, the concept of faith must be alluring and alien to him. Also, good thing I'm not squeamish, I had to watch people vomit multiple times in preparation for this episode. Why didn't they give Shaw a bigger bucket? It's going everywhere. I like that they show how hard cryosleep is on the body. It always seems so easy in the other films, but, you know, that's it. I guess they're showing the advancements in the technology. Alright, that about covers it. This is Coulson, signing off. You can find me on traviandesigns.com, TRAVIAN, or Prometheus by Minute on Facebook.